40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. 1 year after Russia invaded Ukraine, President Vladimir Zelensky says his country is still standing, but needs more help from the West. Correspondent Charlie Daggett is in Kyiv.
They've lost so many people. Millions have been displaced both within this country and refugees in other countries. There's nothing to celebrate here aside from their own survival.
And the war, of course, has led to a massive exodus of Ukrainians to places all over the world. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
8 million Ukrainian refugees remain scattered across Europe in countries like Poland and Germany. Another 5 million have been internally displaced inside Ukraine. In the U.S., Ukrainian refugees are finding sponsors and family members, but also complete strangers hoping to make a difference. Two-thirds of the sponsorship requests in the U.S. have originated in New York, Illinois, California, Washington, Florida, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Ohio.
Accused killer Alec Murdoch is done testifying at his murder trial in Walterboro, South Carolina. In cross-examination, he admits that he lied when he said he wasn't at the crime scene just before his wife and son were murdered, but he says he didn't kill them.
The person or people who did what I saw on June the 7th, they hated Paul Murdoch, and they had anger in their heart.
On Wall Street, the Dow lost 337 points. The NASDAQ closed down nearly 200. CBS's Jason Brooks on why.
Stocks sold off after the Federal Reserve's favorite inflation gauge, the government's personal consumption expenditure index, rose more than expected in January, following similar readings in the consumer and producer price indexes. That's fueling the likelihood of more rate hikes from the Fed, and investors reacted by dumping stocks in what wound up being the worst week of 2023 for the market.
They've been held at Guantanamo Bay Naval Base for some two decades. Now they're going home.
They are brothers, ages 53 and 55, and they have been held as detainees in the war against terrorism for helping to operate safe houses for suspected Al-Qaeda operatives. The Pentagon says the two were never charged with any crimes during their 20 years in U.S. custody. They were captured by Pakistan's security services in Karachi in 2002, were held in a CIA-run detention site in Afghanistan, and then transferred to Guantanamo Bay in 2004. Their return to Pakistan leaves just 32 detainees at Gitmo, which once held hundreds of prisoners. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. STI.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher is back from a secret trip to Taiwan. He says Taipei wants enhanced partnerships with Washington. Gallagher also wants to send military aid to Taiwan to fight off an invasion from China. The Green Bay Republican leads a congressional committee looking into the Chinese Communist Party's international influence and economic ties to the United States. Senator Tammy Baldwin is urging the Food and Drug Administration not to let plant milk products call themselves milk on their labels. The Madison Democrat says dairy farmers work hard to make products she calls second to none. Dairy farmers are trying to get a law passed that defines milk and cheese as only coming from animals and not plants. In sports, the Bucks are back from the All-Star break. Milwaukee hosts Miami tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
South Minneapolis. Visit their website at scotchamamas.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, everybody, this is Ogumaganuakwe standing in for Wakunja Hade today. We're going to go straight into the news this evening, and I hope you enjoy. Thanks for tuning in.
Bonjour, Anin relatives. This is Ogumaganuakwe with Native Roots Radio. I have some news and information for you today. First, I want to tell everybody that my name means strong golden eagle woman, and I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And I'm coming to you from Dakota homelands in central Minnesota. Really excited to be here with some updates, especially about the event that's coming up on the 25th, which is Saturday, February 25th. The Warrior Women Project is hosting a special community exhibit for the 50th anniversary of the 1973 occupation of Wounded Knee. The exhibit is going to feature never-before-seen interviews with the matriarchs of Wounded Knee from Pine Ridge, who were the driving force behind the occupation. The exhibit's going to highlight oral history interviews with women who played significant roles as community leaders in the event surrounding Wounded Knee and providing compelling storytelling experiences. The exhibit is really going to give community members a glimpse into the history of Wounded Knee from the matriarch perspective. They're also going to have an interactive oral history exhibit honoring the women of Wounded Knee 1973. That'll be open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Porcupine Cafeteria and Gymnasium at Paha Sinte Owayawa School in Porcupine, South Dakota, on the Pine Ridge Nation. There's going to be an honoring lunch, and attendees are going to receive a free commemorative t-shirt. Also, an option, too, if you go to warriorwoman.org, the film Warrior Women will be available to watch online tonight, Friday, February 24th, through Monday, February 27th. And you can click on the Wounded Knee 50th button in the top left corner at warriorwomen.org to find that link. They're going to be hosting live stream presentations, discussions, and celebrations as well. I know we're going to have somebody coming on from Warrior Women, Beth Castle, to talk about that later tonight. But this is really an exciting event that is taking power back for women. And we've got a jam-packed show here tonight lined with all women. And I just wanted to really highlight that. Speaking of warrior women, Winona LaDuke and Tara Hauska were on trial today in Aiken County for charges related to resisting the Line 3 pipeline. Tara Hauska shared a statement yesterday, and she said that she'll appear at her first court hearing on multiple criminal charges, including a gross misdemeanor trespass on critical infrastructure from a Stop Line 3 demonstration back on January 9th, 2021. Tara Houska also goes on to say that of over a dozen arrests, only a handful of us have outstanding charges from that date, mostly Ojibwe women who were charged after the fact and served by mail. 2 years later, the court is moving forward with criminalizing us for defending the drinking water of millions and giving voice to the earth. Aiken County law enforcement later engaged in use of pain compliance and physical force on human beings that shocks the conscience. Several severe lacerations from dragging young people out of a piece of Line 3 pipeline with ropes, later charging those same land offenders with assisting attempted suicide, twisting the limbs of climbers over 25 feet in the air, dangling their bodies as they screamed. There's a total disregard for human life and well-being to defend a fossil fuel project that disregards human life and well-being. Violence begets violence. Ours are acts of love and empathy and community with all living beings. We stand. That's Tara Houska, who's on trial today in Aiken County, Minnesota, for charges related to the Line 3 pipeline. She's on trial alongside other warrior women, Winona LaDuke. I will have more information for that when we come back after the weekend. You might be able to find a little more information on that on stopline3.org under the Drop the Charges tab in the upper left. I want to take a minute now and go to local news here in northern Minnesota out of Cloquet. WDIO reports that a high school student at Cloquet High School jumped from a second-story window last week on Thursday, and the student was taken by ambulance to the Duluth Hospital, and the injuries do not appear to be life-threatening. However, the reason why the student jumped is really the important part of the story. My sources tell me that that student was a trans student who had been suffering from bullying at the Cloquet schools, and it got so bad that they had wished to end their life and had jumped out of the window. The community over in Cloquet and Fond du Lac, which is the nearest community of Native people on the Fond du Lac Reservation, did have a walk to bring awareness on February 21st, right outside the school driveway at Cloquet. They had a rallying saying that the school officials do nothing about the zero bullying policy that they have on file, and that the community was really angered, and they wanted everybody to comment hashtag no bullying awareness on the event and to turn out in person. And I do know that that action happened, and you know, it's just really disturbing when we see these events coming through with our students and our trans community and you know, our youth especially. And, you know, my prayers are up to that youth, and I am grateful to Creator that they were not hurt in the jump. And I really hope that Cloquet Schools can find a way to do something about this. Last but not least, I do want to touch base on the ongoing Cop City that activists and forest defenders are calling a massive Atlanta Police Foundation plan, which has $60 million in corporate fundings and $30 million in taxpayer money. What they're doing is building a humongous police training facility in Waylani Forest near Atlanta. The neighborhoods that surround that forest are largely made up of lower-income Black residents, and Cop City and the plans to build it are going to decimate green space, which is already rare, and then replace it with a police location to practice tactics that we know here in Minneapolis especially kill and harm Black and brown bodies every single day. In addition to that, there was an activist named Tortuguita who was shot in the process of protecting the Waylani Forest. If you are interested in taking action to send some support to those who are in occupation right now, the Waylani Forest, and who are taking their time and putting their lives on the line to protect forests, water, and people from the police, you can head on over to stopthemoneypipeline.org or go to actionnetwork.org and sign the petition for No Massive Police Complex, Stop Cop City. I just wanted to tell everybody that I appreciate all of you listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We do have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. And if you have any dollars to spare, even if it's a couple of bucks, we would really appreciate anything you might be able to give to support the ongoing work that we have here at Native Roots Radio, providing news, commentary, political information, community updates, and more. I know we've been covering the ongoing process of the occupation at the roof depot in the Twin Cities, and we cover a lot of environmental issues related to Native people, as well as history and more. So if you can, head on over to patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network and give what you can, or, you know, consider giving to our sponsors. MN350 is a great sponsor of ours. They do a lot of work to help BIPOC communities and to defend the climate. You can go over to mn350.org/frontlinefund/direct, and that will get your funding directly to aiding frontline workers within microfinancing purposes. That provides emergency relief grants to those who are directly impacted by climate justice, grants to support and connect leaders within BIPOC communities, investments and opportunities to grow the climate justice movement in Minnesota, and support for individuals and communities that cannot easily access other sources of funds. So that is a wonderful way that you could support the work of Native Roots Radio and its relatives and other people who are in this movement to make known and take action to protect land, water, and climate. This is Ogamaganuakwe with Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay tuned for Beth Castle, Wendy Pilot, and Mary Kunish.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood restaurant in the Whittier neighborhood at 26th and Lindale. Nightingale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Plus, they still have takeout and delivery. Their menu has lots of delicious options like the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, ginger tamari chicken wings, smoked chicken liver pate, and more. They're open from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with their full menu until midnight. So make the friendly neighborhood Nightingale your go-to restaurant in South Minneapolis. Place an order, make a reservation, and more at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Bonjour, relatives. This is Zoe Allen, and I want to introduce our next segment for tonight. We have some more important messages and updates from State Senator Mary Kunish, so please stay tuned.
Good day, everyone. This is Senator Mary Kunish coming to you from Minnesota. It's Friday, February 24th. We just came out of a bit of a snowstorm, so everything is kind of cold and white here in Minnesota, but that's what we live for, right? I'm the state senator here in Minnesota, and boy, have we been busy this past week. We passed two really important bills off of the Senate floor that are going to make a huge difference to a lot of people, thousands of people in Minnesota. And one of them is Restore the Vote. So the Restore the Vote legislation restores voting rights to those Minnesotans who have been convicted of a felony, but that they are not incarcerated and have followed through and paid their role to society. It would actually, the figure is, impact about 50,000 Minnesotans from every corner of our state of Minnesota. So that means we can add the potential for 50,000 more voters onto the rolls of voting. And we know that research has showed time and time again that when we have pro-social activities such as employment, community engagement, and importantly, the ability and the freedom to vote, it leads to lower rates of recidivism. That's what the research shows. And we also recognize that by allowing those 50,000 taxpaying Minnesotans to vote, they once again have a voice in the government that is supposed to represent them. And let's not forget that they pay taxes for. So there's a lot of decisions being made in their communities, in their state, about them and others that they don't have a voice in. And it's really important that this happens here in Minnesota, because our disenfranchisement rate is over four times what it was 40 years ago. The records show that black men are disenfranchised at seven times the rate of white men. And that means that 95% of the individuals who are incarcerated will eventually be released and reintegrated into their communities, but they don't have a voice in what's going to happen and the decisions made about our state. So we really, really want to focus on rehabilitation and reducing that recidivism, and restoring the vote is definitely here in Minnesota the way to do it. The other bill that we passed off of the Minnesota Senate floor, and let me tell you, folks, we were there till 3 a.m. in the morning. We started at 11 in the morning and went till 12:30, took a break so we could go to our committees, came back at 5:15, and we were there till 3:30 in the morning debating these two bills. But the second bill that we passed off the Senate floor is Driver's License for All. And what this legislation does, it allows all Minnesotans, you know, 16 and older, who have gone through their driver's license training, passed the tests, now have the ability to drive, that they can obtain a driver's license regardless of their immigration status. And it really does impact and improve the public safety by making sure that everyone on our roads who is driving has a license, that they have insurance. And let me tell you, it is 100% supported by law enforcement, because the result of this is that it's going to strengthen our Minnesota communities and our families. It's going to bolster our economy. And again, not only supported by law enforcement, but by labor and business. And we want to make sure that those community members, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our students, our families, that at the time are undocumented, that they are able to get to school and to work and to their medical appointments and to the grocery store and to their churches in a safe way fully licensed and insured here in Minnesota. So there was a lot of suggestions about marking our license places, license cards. As a Democrat, as a DFLer, Democrat labor farmer labor member, I would really be concerned about putting those undocumented workers at risk and decrease the likelihood that they would seek those licenses because it is so identifying and would possibly allow for targeted behavior by our public safety people, but also others. And we want to make sure that that it's clear that it's not a proof of citizenship. If you have a driver's license, it doesn't mean that you are now a citizen of Minnesota or of the United States, but it is proof of residency. And we want to make sure that those folks, and while they might be undocumented, they're still working and they're still paying our taxes. And they're the ones that really supported our economy during COVID when many others did not go to work and were not there to provide all the services that were provided. And they absolutely deserve to live in our communities with dignity and respect. So those are the two that we passed off the Senate floor this week. It was a really great conversation and debate, and look forward to getting those folks and passing those laws, those bills to the governor for him to sign off on and implement. It'll make a big difference. Imagine with 50,000 more people able to vote and all those others that are now safely driving. Minnesota will be better for it. I also just want to remind folks that on Monday, I will be presenting the improved Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act off of the Senate floor so that we are strengthening and expanding the federal laws of the Indian Child Welfare Act. We want to make sure that our tribes have that secure involvement and notification for both involuntary and voluntary case management for our kids who are perhaps removed from their families, suggested to go into foster care, and heaven forbid into adoption, because we know the historic trauma that has occurred because of that. And so what this bill will do, it will immediately ensure, and we are hoping that the counties and all of the child protection agencies will immediately move to involve the Indian Child's tribe at the very earliest point possible when it comes to the attention of Indian welfare agencies. And there are those, and we know that there's threats from the federal government that would say that we are not doing our due diligence in protecting children. Of course we want to protect children. We want to protect children at the highest levels. But we also want to ensure that the tribes are involved at the very earliest possibility to enforce that the ICWA laws, the protections for those Indian children are in place, that the best efforts, the earliest efforts to keep those kids in their family, in their homes. I mean, if it means that the child's being taken away because there's no heat in the house, how can we help that family get heat in their house? If it's because they don't have proper winter garments, how do we get those garments? If they're truant, what is the impediment to getting them to school? So that's the MIFBA bill that we will be passing off the House floor, Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. And we've got lots more to do this session, so I'll be back in a week and give you another update. But in the meantime, stay safe, stay warm. Wopalitanka, Pinigigi, and take care, everyone.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief, the one-year mark for the war in Ukraine brings more help to fight Russia. Fordham University's Beth Noble is a former CBS News Moscow bureau chief.
What the Ukrainians really need are weapons and ammunition, and so it's very good news for them that the U.S. is pledging another $2 billion worth of military aid. That's bringing the U.S. total to about $30 billion.
Alec Murdoch admits stealing money from his law firm. He admits he lied about not having been at the murder scene minutes before his wife and son were killed.
When you're doing the things wrong that I was doing, you have all kind of ways of justifying it.
He says he didn't kill his wife and son. A tough day on Wall Street. More from CBS's Jason Brooks.
The Dow lost 337 points to 32,817. The NASDAQ dropped 195 points to 11,395. And the S&P down 42 points to 3970.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Van Nair. Here's what you need to know. Milwaukee will be in the national spotlight in August when it hosts the Republican National Convention, and now the city will feature the first presidential primary debate. To date, only Milwaukee has been chosen to host a debate. Few additional details available at this time. Only two major candidates have come forward to announce their candidacy for the Republican nomination, former President Trump and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. A national manufacturing leader stopped in Wisconsin to talk about the current state of the industry. President and CEO of the National Association of Manufacturers, Jay Timmons, spoke at Waukesha County Technical College. Timmons said there needs to be immigration reform to address worker shortages, a restoration of the 2017 tax deductions to allow for more new machinery and research, tackling Chinese counterfeits, and reforming the permit process to help speed up projects. I'm Jane Mantner. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Well, really excited to have Beth Castle on, and we have a lot to talk about, a lot happening with the 50th anniversary. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, Beth, as always.
Thank you, Robert. I'm really happy to be here today to talk about what we're going to do this weekend.
Right on. Hey, let's start with, it's the 50th anniversary, but I know for many, many years you've been accumulating a warrior woman. Well, as a matter of fact, I got to just say you're the creator and director of Warrior Women documentary, which to me is one of the best documentaries out there about the movement and the people in it, and especially the women who led it. So I wanted to back up and say that because it's really exciting to know you and the people that you come with and the power that you bring to our community. So again, Peeny Gigi, thank you. And let's get into what's happening this weekend. We know we have the 50th anniversary of Wounded Knee, but what does that mean to warrior women and yourself?
Well, you know, thank you for all of that, because it is definitely, I'm trying to decide if I reveal this about myself, but let's just say that the 50th anniversary parallels itself very closely with my age. So and I have spent half of my life on a journey interviewing and learning from these incredible women who were, you know, a word that we use now, matriarchs, in a way that, you know, we weren't using 10, 15 or so years ago. But it's one of the words that comes the closest to describing, even though it's still a very Western anthro term. But, you know, Indigenous women are really taking it back in a good way to just that inherent power of women and how community and history is really organized around what we do. So, it's kind of wild. I think at the moment there's just, I know I'm overwhelmed with feeling, partly because, you know, it was 1998 when I first sat down to interview Geraldine Janisse and Ellen Luskamp when I made my first visit to Pine Ridge. Didn't know what I was getting myself into, but you know, they were willing to tell me their story, and it definitely, you know, to see this many years later, it be the centerpiece of what the Warrior Women Project is trying to do tomorrow, which I'm really proud of. And I'd love to give you some more details, because we really want people involved, and we want people to learn from and inform us as well in this like co-collaboration of making history.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it. You know, on Saturday, correct? Saturday, you're going to be doing a live stream along with many people that are still survivors that were involved with Wounded Knee. As we've found out over the years here on Native Roots Radio, that, you know, everything's been pretty much woman-led, regardless of what you see in the press or whatever. The women have been in the background running things forever.
You know, it's 100%. It's fascinating to see how that changes over time. But part of what, you know, and this is what I started to do all those years ago, was it's just like, how did these social movements that just changed, you know, changed so much that we take things for granted, which in a way that's good, right? Because we were changing so many gross inequities and issues. But, you know, part of it has been what the Warrior Women Project is trying to do as well, which is change the questions we ask about history, how we look at it, and the words that we use, because we're often, you know, people will say, well, we're trapped in using this language in English of like, what was women's role? And that's sort of an additive model. So like, there's this thing that goes on that's like the important mainstream history, and then how do women fit in? And that's just part of what we're trying to do, is like help bring people back to a community-based history that better reflects, you know, for example, how Native communities have survived and you know, the resilience of them over all these years, and how folks get along. And so tomorrow, as part of this day-long interactive oral history exhibit is what we're calling it. And, you know, I would say I think it's pretty rare, and we're really proud of it, because what we're doing is bringing back to the community the story that started there. And that doesn't happen that often. And not only are we doing that, we're really asking people to give us feedback. We're not bringing a museum exhibit as though it's done and we're providing this information. It's that here are, you know, here's a set of stories that are, you know, filmed, audio, oral histories that were done over the last 25 years with key women who were from Pine Ridge, but also some of the women, like, for example, Pat Bellinger, one of the, you know, the matriarchs of the American Indian movement from the Twin Cities, is also featured, because we're trying to show this ecosystem of activism and how people are involved in all different ways, doing all different things to, you know, move this forward.
Wow. That's exciting. Now, people that aren't in being able to make this, how can they watch what's going on? Do we have a live stream? What's happening?
Yeah, let me try to, and here's the thing, I want to invite everybody to sort of like forgive us, because this is a really challenging thing that we take very seriously about making sure that we show up for the community in person as best we can, in real time, on the ground, at the Porcupine Gym, where we'll be tomorrow between 11 and 5. And part of what our goal is that we will be live streaming starting at 1 p.m. till 3 p.m. It is the case that on our media right now, and I guess this is something you can put up for me, Robert, but I will repeat a few times, is that anything you need to go to is on a landing page on our website. So it's warriorwomen.org/WK50. So WK50. Mm. And through that, you will be able to get to the live stream link. You will also be able to, for the period of time starting tomorrow, Friday, through the end of day Monday, the Warrior Women film that you mentioned earlier that was made by myself and Christina King, will be available for anybody who would like to stream it. We want to make it accessible. So we really hope people can take the time, if they haven't seen it, to take a chance and watch it, because there's going to be a lot of great context and history. But tomorrow, you know, and this is the beginning, like this exhibit is about 20 banners of content, and 13 banners are dedicated to individual women who were all interviewed for the Warrior Women Project over the years, and then some general history banners. But we also recognize that this is in no way the entire history, but they are part of, you know, key women who were inside Wounded Knee, who made the call for Wounded Knee, you know, for what ended up bringing American Indian Movement there. So we're trying to do a lot of history, but we're also, as I said, inviting people to come and give us their feedback. And this is the big thing. Anyone, you know, who does join us and has a story to share about Wounded Knee, we're there on site with teams to capture the oral history interview. So it could be something short. Maybe it's this, and it can be intergenerational. So it's a story about your grandmother that someone was told you, or you've picked up. We want to try to build as full a community history as we can by incorporating all the voices. So that's another thing we'll be doing tomorrow.
Oh, that's exciting. And that's, we got a couple minutes left in the segment. That's let's talk a little bit. Let's let everyone know how to find that again. I'm sorry. Warrior Women.
Sure. warriorwomen.org/WK50.
Wow.
And that will take you, and just so I can run it down for you, like I said, we want to be present for the folks who are in person. And so from 11 to 1, we're going to be in the, you know, in the gymnasium, in the cafeteria area. There's a lunch being provided that's in honor of two important women who ran the Wounded Knee Legal Defense Offense Committee. So they did the legal work along with Ken and Rachel Tilson. And this is, you know, like I said, there's so much history here to recognize. But that lunch will occur at 1 o'clock. We'll start programming that will happen in the gym. That includes, we're calling it the Circle of History because we want to leave space for people who may join that. But by and large, it would be a discussion of women inside Wounded Knee. And then we will do an interactive, we're going to do a walkthrough of the exhibit so that people can see it. But you know, the goal in the for the future of the exhibit is that we want to see it travel places.
Yeah.
So this is our, you know, sort of our test space to start with. And then we want people to interact, you know, so between 3 and 5 specifically is time for interacting with the oral history exhibit and listening. At each banner, you can also listen to the oral history that corresponds with the picture and the quote and the content that's in the banner.
Wow, that's exciting. I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes last week, but they had a lady who was doing exactly what you've been doing for these 20-some years in the African-American community. And I just felt really proud to know you, that you've been way ahead of the ball, and you've been really recording our history that, you know, normally is handed down in the tradition of stories, but you're having them tell stories that we need to know, and our allies need to know where we've come from and how far we've come and how far we have to go. Is almost the same thing, right, Beth?
Yeah. And that's part of why it's so important that we're on the ground tomorrow, knowing that, like, a lot of times, like, something huge like Wounded Knee happens that leads to a global indigenous movement. It leads to the word indigenous being crafted, used, and taken on at the United Nations. And that work comes from, you know, a handful of grandmothers on the ground who are just not going to take it anymore.
Right.
And we're willing, you know, to do the things that they did that has also caused a lot of pain and been challenging, because, it, you know, anytime you engage in this type of action, there's going to be some trauma tied to it. But that's why it's so important that we be on the ground and just be accountable so that we can hear, you know, get that feedback from people, you know, because that's the other part is, like, if we're not co-creating history, which is just how we need to do things from now on, then we're not telling history. We're just telling a propaganda, you know, self-serving lie, and that hasn't helped anybody.
Exactly. Well, I'm here with Beth Castle, warrior woman, and you are a warrior woman yourself. I really appreciate you stopping in, and I will be seeing you at Wounded Knee on Saturday.
Hey, just be careful out there. You know, the weather's crazy, but I can't wait. Thanks for your support, Robert.
Right on. Always good to talk to you, and we'll see you Saturday. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after the short break. Please stay with us.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Wow, I didn't get that up quick enough, darn it. I don't know what I'm doing, Wendy. Here, let's do that again. Let's just howl. Ready?
Howl.
Okay, thank you. Hey, I'm here with my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she also has been on the show for over 6 years, co-hosting for many, many years, and she's back here to talk about our sacred animals. Thank you, Wendy, and welcome as always.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it was always my pleasure to do that. And Robert, today we were watching the news earlier today, and we saw that the DNR has an eagle cam where it can watch these eagles who have eggs that are in this nest right now. And the eagle is shown like covered in snow with just her head sticking out. And it seems very miserable to me, and I wouldn't want to be doing that, but that's what eagles do this time of year.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I have an article here from B105. And it says here, it's been a busy month already for the eagles that star on the DNR's eagle cam. On February 15th, around 12:30 p.m., the first egg of the 2023 season was spotted in the nest. Then on Saturday, February 18th, just before noon, the female laid her second egg. Her mate was providing food and trading off incubation duties. I'm really glad that they share in the responsibilities of being parents. So that's really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. The DNR noted that the mate is never far away, keeping a watchful eye over the nest for intruders and predators. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember that nest we saw down south? It was way up high in this tree. It was really big nest.
Big as a Volkswagen.
Yeah, it was really big.
I've never seen an eagle's nest that big.
Yeah, and the people who lived on the property said that these eagles came back year after year after year. But I loved what they did to the tree. They kind of tacked on this like metal tin sheet that goes around the tree so that the raccoons and other animals can't climb up the tree.
They slide right down.
Yeah.
It's on the trunk of the tree, which is hard to say.
Yeah, so I love that they do that because they do have quite a bit of intruders.
Yeah, those raccoons with those masks come at night and mm-hmm. want to eat. They want to have egg salad.
They do. I know.
I know. And you said owls too, but we don't talk about owls because you know what that means.
And Ho-Chunk. Ho-Chunk. I could say it though. Oh. It means death in Ho-Chunk if you see an owl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, though, this week brought a lot of snow, and the eagles had been bringing more nesting materials in preparation. So they must feel the barometric pressure and know what's happening.
I feel that on my knee.
That they do that.
But I don't know what's happening.
Exactly. As those watching the eagle cam witnessed, all the snow quickly impacted the nest and covered the star. The mama, who is really the star of the eagle cam, right? However, there is no need to fear. The eagles will be fine, and the snow provides insulation for the eggs as they incubate. The DNR says the eggs are now nestled further down in the soft fur, feathers, leaves, and grasses tucked in around them. And you can watch the eagle cam 24/7 to check them out. So you should do that. And they said here around mid-March, we should be able to see cute, fuzzy-headed chicks in the nest. So that's really exciting to do that. Yeah, I love that. And so, Robert, I was really thinking about this. Why do the eagles lay their eggs in winter, right? Because it seems kind of really miserable that they do that.
Do they have a choice, or is it inbred, or are they making a logical choice on that?
Well, you know what the thing, here's the thing. So it takes eagle parents about 116 days to lay and incubate eggs and bring nestlings to fledge. So if an eagle laid eggs in mid-April, its young wouldn't fledge until mid-August, which means that the parents would be trying to keep the eggs and eaglets cool in the hot, humid summer. It's a lot easier for bald eagle parents to keep eggs and their young warm in cool, dry weather than to cool them in hot, humid weather, right? Wow. So if the eggs and the eaglets survived summer's heat, they would be learning to fly and hunt in mid-August when the prey is starting to become a little less abundant in many territories.
That's smart.
Isn't that smart? Yeah.
That's smart.
So not a big deal for the skilled adult hunters because they've been used to doing this, but a little tougher for new fledged eaglets learning to fly and hunt at the same time. If the eaglets still dispersed in September, they would have less than a month of flying and hunting under their wings before striking out on their own. So, yeah, so this is really important. And that's why, this is why, you know, they have the eggs.
And not to change the subject, but if are any of our white allies out there ever find an eagle feather, they should give it to, either leave it on the ground in all seriousness or give it to me. But exactly. Legally, only Native Americans can have an eagle feather.
Yeah, that's right.
That's crazy, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Because I found a nice white one down by the river and then gifted it to a former student for graduation. And she wore it in her graduation cap, and I think she has it showing prominently and hopefully uses it because that's what we're supposed to do as natives is use those feathers. And
for smudging. And for,
Prayer. For prayer, definitely. Yeah.
That's right. I love that story. That's great.
Yeah.
Eagles can fly up to 30 miles an hour and can dive at speeds of 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Bald eagles develop characteristic white head and tail feathers by 4 to 6 years of age. So a lot of times we'll see the eagles and we could see that they're eagles. We know that they're eagles, but they're like a really dark brown or black color. And those are just young eagles who haven't developed that white head and tail because they're not 4 to 6 years old.
That's crazy. I didn't know that until we had this show.
I know. Fledging eagles, that's what we're talking about. The fledging eagles learn to fly at 3 months of age.
I like when you call them eaglets.
Eaglets. Yeah, isn't that cute? Eagles live, let's see. Oh, eagles, yeah. 30 years or more in the wild. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. The male bald eagles are smaller than the females, and eagles mate for life and return to the same nesting territory year after year. I think that's really astonishing that they do that. And the funny thing is that, here's some trivia. Whenever you hear a supposed eagle in Hollywood movie or cartoon, it's been dubbed over by the screech.
Weather on this snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again. Like, I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.